I just want to start from the outset to say that any decision we make today may change tomorrow. In order to have the best expert advice, we have commissioned...
Supercoach 360.
If the time's going up, it's recording.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, time for the show.
Oh, mate, 100%.
We need to find out why they think it's okay to say anything.
It's certainly one of the greatest challenges in the history of the game.
That's what they want to try and do.
Megastar to megastar!
In this regard, we're leaving every option on the table.
Excellent. Oh,
what was that, buddy?
That was something special.
You know what?
That's not talent.
Uh-oh.
Supercoach 360.
The best way to handle these things is to stay measured, stay calm, you know, live your life as normal.
Unless we start finding it off the people... who actually
just do it.
It makes their little ordinary life feel a little bit better for that moment.
Makes you
cool. Supercoach 360 podcast.
Fucking said that.
What did you notice?
G'day, welcome to Supercoach 360. How you doing? Oh, va 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 va. Yeah, that's it. Oh, guys, tech tonight. It is firing. So that's all just gone live to the audio, but Facebook's only just tuned in. How are we doing? Welcome to Supercoach 360. While the intro was playing, Con got to the very end of it and just went, does that whole intro go on with no rabbits? Obviously, talking about Ray Rabbits Warren. And I went, yeah, Con, it does. And he just goes, oh, and looks disappointed.
I think that's the first time I've heard him fall.
Yeah. Well, thanks, buddy, because it's been going live for 18 months. And the footy fans out there, you guys are aware I've only been, like, following this game for... We're coming into my fourth year, all right? Like, so that feedback could have done with. I will do my best to rectify it on the next edit. Welcome to Supercoach 360. How you doing? It is your boy, Juzzy J. We are in the coach's box once again. Talk all things Supercoach NRL. That's about it, Supercoach and NRL. So it's one of those nights tonight, boys.
What else you want to talk about, mate? You got some issues?
Pardon? I've got some issues. I've got some new shoes. It's been a good week. What I do have is a Supercoach score, but we're not even going to talk about that because we don't do that anymore. I'm clearly on the ball tonight. No, we do have a whole bunch to talk about. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. It's only taken me 2 minutes to say that.
I think you said that.
This week, we are going to talk, of course, PPM with Brad Smith. What a legend has thrown through another video for us, so we'll get to that in a bit. Bergs has a few rants on his list this week, something to do with Origin, something to do with Turbo, something to do with... Round 13, I don't even know. Something to do with guns there, I think, and some fails. So let's see how that comes into the conversation. We're going to talk our most traded in and traded out players. We've got the buy, hold, sells, thanks to Supercoach Hub on Discord. Make sure you get amongst them. Link is in the description. And Ross Mann has also joined us for a bit of a pre-record earlier this evening with Ross's roundup. So we've got heaps to talk about, and then, of course, we've got your questions. Jump in the Facebook comments, say g'day, throw your questions in there. We'll get to them all towards the end of the show. But first things first, I do believe, Bergs, you've finished the share in there, bud?
Nearly,
okay. So we're not going to jump straight into TLT. Con, how are you doing, buddy? Like, what's going on with your super coach at the moment? Where are you at?
I thought I was looking really good. Slowly building my way to where I wanted to be, and then Huss went down, Fafita went down. So, a bit of a setback, but nothing too drastic. So, all in all, I think I'm pretty happy.
Okay.
I am sitting.
On Huss, what are you going to do there, buddy? Are you looking to hold? Have you heard much news on him and where he's at? I don't believe he's playing this week, but then I've also heard talk about he could be out for 4 to 6 to get some rehab done or maybe get a surgery done, play on. Would you look to hold him this week or do you look at, as he's a bit of a trade out and just sort of got to go?
I think you'll know come because their first game of the round. So there'll be definitely more information. The media surely will do their job and push to find out. Hopefully for us by then, you know what I mean? Hey, scans would have got already done, so it's a matter of the club releasing a statement, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. They would have the results by now, 100%. Probably find it somewhere, to be honest with you. Any Broncos people out there?
Jimmy?
So hopefully nothing too bad, but by the looks of it, or sounds of it, could be an AC joint, which could spell dramas.
Grade 1 strain.
to
is what I'm saying for AC joint for Payne Haas.
Right. Well, I don't know the process on that. We're jumping into team list with Roscoe's handed us these this week. Thank you, Roscoe. South Broncos. So South's Isaiah Tass holds his spot on the side over Tane Milne. Liam Knight replaces David Moali on the bench. And for the Broncos, Huss is out injured, replaced by handy Pat Carrigan.
Not a bad replacement.
Very well.
So Australian tells me it won't be bad. It won't be long.
Yeah, but if it's 2 weeks, he's into camp the third week.
Better get him back for one, then you lose him.
You know, so it's one of those things you've got to have a look at. And then Capewell's out injured. He's replaced by TC Ribardi. Don't jump on. Raiders Dogs. Jared Croker will play his first game of the year, replacing Sammy Valame. Xavier Savage has been dropped with Charles Nicol-Klokstad replacing him. Jordan Rapana shifts back to the wing. Jack Whiten is out suspended, replaced by Matt Frawley. Elliot Whitehead returns with Corey Harawira Naira dropping back to the bench. Adam Elliott will again start at hooker with Tom Starling benched. Sebastian Chris comes onto the bench. The Dogs. Josh Jackson returns from COVID, pushing Max King back to the bench with Billy Tsarkas dropping to the reserves. And Brent Naden is back replacing Ockenball on the right wing. Panthers, no changes. Eels, Tom Opacek returns to the side with Dylan Brown shifting back to 5'8", and Jacob Arthur dropping back to the reserves. Sean Russell's named on an extended bench. Manly Tigers. Manly Turbo returns from injury with Ruben Garrick shifting to the wing. Ben Trbojevic replaces the injured Brad Parker. Homoli Olakau'atu returns from suspension, replacing Kane Lawton, who is out suspended. Harshly done by. Tigers, Luciano Leilua is out injured, replaced by Alex Seifarth. And David Nofaluma is out, replaced by Ken Namalo. As far as I know, it's a head knock. Roosters, Titans, Daniel Tupou returns from suspension, replacing Kevin Naguama. Paul Momorowski returns from illness, replacing Adam Keegan. David Feeder is out for a month, replaced by Kevin Proctor. Sam McIntyre comes into the interchange bench. Cowboys Knights. Cowboys no changes. Knights, Tex Hoy replaces Jake Clifford at 5'8", who has been dropped. Adam Clune is out injured with Phoenix Crossland at starting halfback. Lachlan Fitzgibbon returns from injury with Brody Jones dropping out altogether. Dom Young returns from injury, replaced by Simi Suasagi. Sorry, dude. Matt Croker and Paulie Sualo join the interchange bench. Storm and the Dragons. Jordan Grant replaces Tepai Moroa on the interchange bench. Jack Rebird returns from injury, replacing Amon, who drops to the bench. The Sharks Warriors game. Dale Finucane returns and replaces Cam McInnes at lock, who drops to the bench. And in the Warriors, Dallin returns from his head knock, replacing Jesse Arthurs. Elise Katoa starts with Bailey Sirenin dropping to the reserves, and Aaron Penne joins the interchange bench. So cheers, Roscoe, for your effort there, mate. Second to none information. Find it on the website. Jazzy?
All right, thank you very much to Ross Mann and Bergs for going through the team list twist. Some major news in there, of course. Being that Turbo is back.
Yep.
Does this make Tuipulotu from Manly? Did I just butcher his name? No doubt
no.
I did.
No, he was close, if not.
Does this make him a must-have? Is Turbo going to juice his game up? We've seen his subs out for, 4 weeks?
Oh, did we? I'm not sure if we talked about this with Ross in the thing, but...
We did.
So, yeah, I like the prospect of him there.
Yeah.
For me, I do.
He's very juicy. He's going to make a shitload of cash.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's... Yeah, they've got a pretty cruisy run too whilst Turbo's in the side for the next couple of games as well. So that's one I'll be looking at as well. He's definitely got some money to be made. So if you want to... Who's a downgrade? Targo or Pennicini or someone like that. He's probably the man to go to.
Yeah, I think we do go through a couple of those options with Ross. Yeah. What do you do with Haas? Everyone online is saying zero to, like, what, 1 week is pretty much all it's going to be. So just hold and wait.
Yeah. Well, if it's a 1 week injury, you can't sell. Do you sell any other gun on a 1 week thing? You hold certain guns through even 2-3 week injuries. So, and he's definitely that guy. He's only going to be second to IPAP all year. You know, we spoke about that the other week. So for me, if he's only got even 2 weeks. I think you get one game before Origin if it's 2 weeks, eh? So I'd handle that.
Yeah, it's definitely a hold.
But yeah, especially while you've got, you should have Lolo as well there to cover this week, plus someone else. You know what I mean? Like, there should be options for you. You shouldn't have to sell him this week.
No.
Alrighty. Was there any other major news really there for you guys in team list? Yeah, Fifita out for four weeks. That's pretty big.
Obviously, that's a sell.
Yeah.
You go sideways to IPAP or Murray, or you go down if you got one of those two and spend your money elsewhere.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, that's probably the best bet to do it anyway. Or that's your NAIF money.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's your only other way to look at it. If you're getting rid of Fifita and you haven't got Cleary, it's probably your best bet to get him with that money.
Yeah, well, I'm going for Fifita to two forwards, but it's going to be two-step processing. I'm going to go down to Adam Elliott this week.
Yeah.
Let him juice up and then trade out my other players to Murray and Lolo. And then bring Fifita back.
Well, for me,
after Origin sometime, maybe.
Yeah, well, that's when that's a smart play. For me, I got to get rid of Mitch Moses, so the smart play is to go to Nate. Like, yeah. And with the Fifita money, it will get me there, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a matter of where I go next.
Yeah.
I'll definitely boost this week, so that would get me, hopefully, another decent player.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
All right, beautiful. I love how you've got four rants. Can't fill time.
Oh,
beautiful.
Shit. Oh, I'm
why don't you give us one of them, bro?
All right. Well, okay. I've seen a few people today offering up options to sell round 13 players. Like, they're definitely going to play 13. Like, granted, they might lose cash from here to 13, but like, I think that's the play that they're looking at. But they're definitely going to play. The thing for me is, if I'm selling a round 13 player, I'm probably not downgrading them. I probably want to upgrade them to a certified gun, if you know what I mean. If they're going to play 13 and get your points and maybe lose 50k from here to there, I'd cop the 50k, get me points 13, and then move along if you catch my drift. But if they're, unless they're going up to a certified gun. You know,
yeah, or the money's getting used elsewhere for a certified gun.
To, like a Nath or a Harry Grant or a Pappenhausen or something like that. Like, that's the only way I'm looking at selling a 13 player.
Yeah, well, I'd sell 13 players because, like we all know, I don't care about the buyers this year. So, I'm judging it all off money and how I can make the most money and sell the players at their best prices and buy them at their best prices.
Well,
don't care when it is.
As a friend and a co-coach, you know, I've got to try to talk you around from that. Like, we're both not coming in the top five of our comps. I feel that this is our period to try to make a jump on some of these other coaches, and I think...
Well, you don't think any of them are planning for the buyers?
I think they are, but they have a team of people like we do around us, like, to bounce it off. Like,
I get that.
In saying that, I think we can all probably plan well for the buyers and come out stronger rather than just laying down and copping them hits.
I figure I'm going to come out stronger by laying down and copping those hits.
Yeah.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I figure if I can just build the best team, I'll make up the difference from those two rounds easily.
All right, boys, I've got that first question from Jared Watson, seeing as how we're talking about buys at the moment. Yeah, big shout out to Watto. He says, g'day, legends. What's the ideal number for the first buy, and who are the best targets?
For me, it's got to be around 12 or 13 players for me. I don't think you want to go too...
Well, you'd have your Lolos, your Drinkwaters, your Thompsons, your Pengais. Probably if you're Tarpany.
Targo, May.
Yeah, I see some Penrith boys there too. Roosters. Don't think you'll have many from the Roosters. Probably still Suwali.
And Tupanua, if you're looking forward.
Maybe Tupo, if you still got him then, but that'll be...
There's Manly players to look at for the buys, I think.
So you could have Tuipulotu.
I think Olakau'atu will be a number.
Yep.
And I think Gary. The winger... What is his name?
Garrick?
No, the other winger.
Tuipulotu.
Yeah, I think that's why you sort of got to look at him this week. Yeah. You'll be able to cash him out after 13. Hopefully with Turbo in that side, he would have made some good
provided he plays 13.
So well, any boys, any boys have enough fingers to count how many players we actually just listed?
Nah. But
11-ish, 12?
But yeah. You've still got Gold Coast players. I'm not sure. Some people still have Furmore.
Yeah, no, but I wouldn't steer into any Gold Coast.
I wouldn't tell you to buy Furmore now or anything like that. Yeah. But if you've still got and you're not planning on selling,
he's the number there.
But
I can't think of many else from the Gold Coast.
For me, North Queensland's your side. I'd be heavily looking at Lolo. Definitely not playing Origin. Like you said, Jarinki's a good pod. The thing with that is you're going to lose Val Holmes. You may lose Fidzy.
Mm-hmm.
So there goes a lot of their good centre.
You're definitely not losing Kyle Felt.
No, not this year. And you won't. And I think you won't lose Tuilagi. So they will still be a good side.
Why aren't you losing Kyle Felt?
Because he's not playing Origin again. He was hopeless. He's done.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, no, this pick and stick with Queensland.
No, we do. We gave him a chance. Him a couple of chances and he didn't bounce back. Done.
I don't know if you look. Only for me would I... I'd only look at Pengai, but Brad, I think last week in his PPM brought up Paul Vaughan, who has been chugging. I've been watching Paul Vaughan because I sold Paul Vaughan, and he's been chugging along at 60s.
Yeah,
you know, it's not a bad number to have in the front row. So he's another option. Plus, I think New Zealand Warriors. I know they're a hot and cold team, but there are some numbers in there as well. If you're looking for 13 coverage.
Well, Tohu would be due back soon, too.
Yeah. Tohu's due back 10. They're saying he's coming back 10, 11. I read
especially
somewhere.
With Curran now gone, and Tohu's juicy as.
Lodge and AFB aren't really putting up fantastic numbers considering Curran's out, Harris is out.
No,
both their numbers would increase. But
Jazz sort of stepped up and then got suspended and then don't know what happened. So, yeah. But there are a few numbers there to look out for. I want to just...
I think you'd be pretty happy with 12, 13 quality guns. I don't think there are 12, 13 quality guns, but...
But you definitely get 10... Oh, probably 10 guns out of that. 8 guns.
We'll have to answer
that
for you
next
week.
Yeah, we'll bring that next
week.
Write
that down.
Oh, I already forgot to. Here you go. All right, Juzzy, what do you got over there, mate?
Okay, we're actually going to go now to PPM with Brad Smith.
G'day super coaches, g'day to the panel there at NRL Supercoach 360. I hope everyone scored some green arrows this week. I hope everyone didn't captain Fifita, Walker, or Moses. If you did, you might be a little bit of a rock to crawl under. It would have been a bad week for you. All right, it's going to be a busy week, no doubt, in the pod tonight. There's a lot to talk about. And we've been looking at, over the last few weeks, some options for your second row with the upcoming buy round. So the more buy relevant second rowers are going to be this week's topic. And this is particularly relevant as, of course, Fifita is out. And if you got him, you got to sell him, which is I'm one of those ones that has him. So unfortunately, I've been sticking with him, probably because I'm stubborn. Now, for this section, there's a lot to. There is a lot of options to go. If you didn't want to go buy relevant players, you could look at some people. Like Matto at Parramatta is starting to string together a couple of good scores, although he's been coming off the bench, but pretty high PPM. So, you know, he's certainly one to, if you want to go down from Fifita 700 to Matto, there's certainly an option. Another one would be Crichton. Couple of good scores now. He looks like he's starting to get some match fitness and game time under his belt. So he also could be a very nice downgrade. Not exactly buy relevant. Colin Matangi from South Sydney, another one that's not really buy relevant. But would be a very good... you know, you'll make a little bit of cash going down to him, and he's got a pretty low BE, so he's still climbing up the ladder and earning some cash there. Colin Montungi. Another couple of honourable mentions. These blokes are all were covered last week in the front rowers, but you could bring them in because they've got dual position. Lolo, if you don't have him, he's certainly very attractive for the buy round. TPJ, again, is one of the higher averaging front rowers, and he's certainly right up there as far as second row position is going as well. And Ruben Cotter, if you want to go that way, is certainly going to make you a lot of cash. He's averaging well over 60, so he's one that just keeps providing some absolute gold for owners. But you might have almost missed the boat as far as the price rises are concerned. Okay, now the first player we're going to look at this week, and some of these are going to seem a bit wild to you, but there are reasons why. Statistically, I've really just concentrated on what the stats are telling us. So the first one to look at here is Ewan Aitken from the Warriors. Now, Ewan Aitken, he's 564K, so you're going to save yourself a, you know, downgrade to him and get 140K in the bank, which might be good if you've got a Walker and you want to trade up to somebody else in the 5'8 or halfback spot. That was not Cady Walker. That's, of course, the other one, the one that got a single digit this week. He's got an average at the moment of 63, so not bad, not, you know, second world. It's better than most. He's certainly in the top 20 of second rowers. But for the buy round, for just a pure second rower, and ones that we haven't covered as front rowers previously, he's actually sitting third. He's got a BE of only 39, so he's not going to lose you any money. He's going to be going up, which is always very nice. Very attractively, he has a lowest round of 44. Now, that makes him, just in simple terms, that means he's got a very good sort of a base there which he's running with. So a player that's running with a pretty good base, he's not going to give you a failure of a score. I don't think he's either going to set the world on fire, you know. Although he got 100 this week, but he's not going to do that every single week. Okay, the next one is number two on the list, Vimear Kikau. Now, Big Billy, we've spoken about him before, earlier in the season. He's only at 520K, so there's a, you know, a hell of a downgrade there from the price of Fifita to him. However, he's another one that's averaging 63. So basically the same as Ewan Aitken was a minute ago. He's very rocks and diamonds, as we know. He's only got a BE of 29. He does have a lower score of 30 this year. So like we just said, you know, a very rocks and diamonds sort of a player. But... you know, a lot of people are going him, and a lot of people do love him. He's certainly one that sort of sparks my interest a bit there. You know, Now, number one on this list, and you're going to think this is just insane, but anyway, here we go. Number one is Okolatu from Manly. And let's just have a little look at his figures. Okolatu, he's averaging 84 for the season. A BE of still only 41, so he's still climbing in price. He's only, unbelievably, 6.6% owned. So Okolatu is certainly one that is an incredibly attractive option, and you're not going to get many second rowers out there that are averaging 84. So he is way up the top of the pile, and certainly outperforming a lot of other second rowers. He's lower score. I thought he was very rocks and diamonds, but I think his lower score is in the 40s as well. And as I said, 96.6% owned. He's one you really have a good close look at. Will play the buy round. Manly got some good games coming up as well as a matchup, so he's got to be incredibly enticing to jump along. Another one that I haven't mentioned here that we really should mention is Stilly Tipanua. I think that's him. Yeah, Stilly Tipanua. He's got a BE of 27, 542K, a three-round average of 65, but with a low score of 36. So he's a bit like a kick out. He goes up and down a bit. But as I said, he's going to save you a fair bit of cash going from Peter down to him. He's not going to let you down too much. You're going to get a good score out of him. However, like I said, Okolatu is the top of the pops as far as what your picks are going to be. I'm probably going to go to Peen this week. I'm already owned Okolatu, so I'm probably going to bite the bullet and get a Canberra forward, something I thought I'd never say at the beginning of the year. All right, that's it for me tonight. I hope everybody gets some green arrows this coming week and that we don't have too many more disasters and players in their single figures to stink up your team. Good luck, everybody. And just remember, have fun, be positive with your super coaching, have fun, do some research, and good luck with the decisions you make. All right, good night, boys.
Thank you, Brad Smith, for joining us on the show once again. Always got some great information. So, obviously, this week he was talking about back rowers and some of your origin options. So, Matto was the first one that he brought up, boys. He said, downgrade Defi to Matto, and the first thing you guys did was both look at each other, nod in agreement, and also Bergs, I think you threw in...
Gus.
Yeah.
Angus Crichton, yeah.
Yeah, I was waiting to see if he remembered what he said. Yeah, that's the old Gussie, Angus Crichton, as an option as well.
We'll play Origin, but...
Yeah, exactly, we'll play Origin.
Play 13 anyway, so...
Kalo Matangi was the next one off the list. Either of you guys an owner, or are you looking at getting on?
I like him. I like what I see from him. He's active. He's runs a great line too, and he's a big man. Yep. Using him like Ola Kuatu sort of thing, so...
He's picked up his work rate a bit too this year as well, so that's a plus as well. I'm a big fan. Him and Ola Kuatu, I've put them in the same boat kind of thing.
Yeah, Ola Kuatu was also on his list, averaging 84 this season, absolutely smashing it.
No.
My only worry is, even though he plays 12, he won't have Cherry.
Ola Kuatu's averaging 67.6.
You have a three-round average of that.
Yeah, well, maybe he's talking three-round.
Kalamatangi's averaging 68, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
but their three rounds are definitely up there, like way up there. Who else you got?
Lolo, TPJ, both on the list.
Both duels, both play Origin, both play the bye round.
Yeah, and don't play Origin. Wow, so, you wouldn't assume TPJ's getting a spot in Origin.
Well, out of the two, he's the only one that could, so...
Yeah, no, I don't think he either play Origin.
That's the only thing. But, yeah, I don't think he plays this year, at least not game one.
Apologies to Nath Dyer for spearing him for holding Defi and getting rid of Ewan Aitken. He's a bit dirty in us about that, but Ewan Aitken also made Brad's list.
Jump back on that.
Yeah, I mean, easy option this week, right?
Well, no, he's, like you said, he's a rollercoaster-ish sort of player.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he got a try last week. He got... Yeah, it didn't happen the way we said it should, but unfortunately sometimes that happens. But every other week I'd tell you to keep Davey over Aiken anyway.
Yeah.
Even with this hindsight, this week, yes, it was the wrong option. Sorry. But, yeah.
No, but the,
so
like
I
this,
really am sorry that because now it's cost him going forward for buys and everything.
No, but that's what I'm also. But he's got a 30 or 40 in him. Yeah. Aiken next week could easily come out and give you a 40, and that levels you back down. You know, so he's one of them players. He does have a big game in him. Does have a small game in him.
Yeah. Well, the final tag that he did put on that comment was the fact that he's going to call 2022 the year of go with your gut, you pussy.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely. You should always go with your gut first.
I mean, yeah, 100%. That's bit me in the ass a couple of times already this year, not trusting my gut, and now I'm just listening to it every time.
That's it. Weigh up the information. If that changes your gut feel, then by all means, but
yeah
go with your gut.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm rolling with, and so far it's working. Who else is on the list here? Clemmer got a mention. Any chance of him getting the Origin Arena, you reckon?
No,
he's past it?
He's PBM's up, I think, on
yeah,
previous
he's putting
years.
Up some really good numbers.
So he's definite. If Payne Huss was to go for a few weeks, he'd be one I'd be looking at. Doesn't play 13, but has been chugging along nicely in the front row.
Now, do either of you own Timmy Moody's favourite son and a Smokey that I'm seeing in a few teams, big bad boy from the West, Philly Army Kickout?
Big Kicks.
I don't own Kicks personally. I wouldn't begrudge anyone from having him, but...
Would you look at him for buy coverage? If you're looking at maybe make a trade or downgrade D-fee or something at the moment?
Yeah, he's definitely a good number to have for 13, I think. Like... I don't think Penrith's attack's going to be anything what it is without Cleary, Luai and Yo running around the middle of the field. So don't expect
hundreds
out of him. Big one from him, but it could happen. Penrith was still a good team without them, so.
Well, look, Penrith loves to run the worst comes to worst crash play and kick out your man, so.
Yeah.
Olakuate we've already talked about. Tupanua and Tarpany were the other two that he mentioned there. I think he mentioned Tarpany last week as well. He's mentioned Tarpany a few times now, and I think if this is Tarpany's year for sure. He seems to be having a bit of a blinder.
Well, he's your Canberra forward, so if you definitely want a number from Canberra, he'd be your safest number.
Well, he's averaging 59. He's, well, apart from Huston, IPAP, Clemmer's the next best at 65, so he's six off the third best.
Which you can make up in...
Yeah, so it's not like anything drastic, really, that you're losing. I've had him from the start of the year, and I haven't been disappointed, but I've got plans to trade him out for around 13, so...
All right, hold on. Yeah. Hold on. It seems like that's the end of his list. Let's just quickly break that down. What are you doing and why?
Because he doesn't fit in the overall scheme of my team of where I want to be at the end of the year, so
he's
served his time.
You can't hold off to, can't you?
Oh,
make
I can absolutely
some other,
hold off.
You can make
but
some
I've got
other
plans in place.
Other plays. Could you not reevaluate?
He's going with his gut.
No, because IPAP and Huss have been able two front rowers, and if one of them's got to go, it's got to be Tarpany.
Yeah, I get that.
Who's your other? You still holding Josh King? You got Max King?
No, I got enough.
You got enough?
Yeah.
Yeah, last
so
week.
So you got rid of both the kids
remember
already?
Remember last week he got enough for cheapie.
I never had Josh King.
He had enough
oh, really?
And a cheapie.
Yeah, I missed it.
Oh, spewed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Spewed.
But if I had him, I probably wouldn't be selling. He just keeps chugging out good scores, like Josh King.
Yeah, he's sort of doing cheese numbers from last year.
Well, if you want a number for 13, he would be a good trade out then, but then you're a number down for 17, so...
All right, just quickly, while we're chatting about things that Brad's done this on the website, Ross does some write-ups, Pool Man from the Discord does some write-ups, Watto, Timmy O, all the boys do write-ups on the website. Ask a favour, can you go on there, maybe share, if you like an article or two on there, maybe share them around if you're on a page or something we don't know about or you haven't seen any of the boys' articles on, do us a solid and throw it out there. Not just for our sake, more for the boys. Like, that these blokes put in some massive efforts on the weekend, like in their own spare time, and just to give you this, and it's rock solid information. If you go back and listen and read all their stuff, it's all solid and on point. So, yeah, I just want you to just help them out and get their names out there. Like, never know, they might get snapped up by Tommy over the Daily Telegraph or something. They get paid for it.
I want some KFC if you do.
So, yeah, moving along. I want to just quickly chat about epic fails for the year. Like, have there been, in your side, like, blokes you've missed out on or people that you've just held on to and they've just constantly let you down this year?
Yes.
Like, you want to chat about them, make people feel better?
It's good to get it off your chest.
It is.
Good to vent about it.
So, yeah.
Well, first one I'll start off with is Xavier Coates.
Yeah.
He's just weaseled his way back into my team this week.
Yeah.
I was trading him out. 2-3 weeks ago, I think.
Yep.
Held him for the start of the year, put up with it, and then just bit the bullet 1 week. I don't know, I needed money for something, and he was a good choice at the time. And then, yeah, bang, bang.
Was it the week you downgraded to Talon May?
No.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah, that one really bit me, and the other one was missing Josh King, that I just spoke about.
Yeah.
That really hurt. And then not getting on Talakai when he started his hot run, obviously.
Yeah.
It's a big regret too.
See, I have a couple myself, like sticking stones with Dave Fafita. Like, there was a couple of times there, yeah, granted, I would have missed his 2 tons. But with that money, I would have brought in someone, or even off 2 people that would have easily outscored him over that 5-week period, if you know what I mean. So I feel he was a bit... I should have bit the bullet a bit earlier selling Defee, just because I think I would have jumped on a Talakai or something like that, you know what I mean, just where he was at. But I stuck staunch with Defee. Jumping on Ilias from the start, I had a gut feel about him. I knew he was going to be shit, same as Amon. I knew he was going to be shit, but I wanted to sort of pretty up my start in 13, and I really could have done better. I like looking back now, I could have done better.
What could you have done better?
Don't know. I just feel that I could have done better.
The poor kid, he's putting in some really good performances on the field, and they're just not translating to Supercoach for him, unfortunately.
Yeah.
He could be the next Cooper Cronk.
And then, yeah, I jumped on the likes of, like, when Carrigan went down, I jumped on Heverington and shit like that, and he's pumping out 22s. It's like, where's the Carrigan in you?
Starting what this week?
Yeah, he's starting like for the last 5 weeks, bro. Gets 49 minutes or 48 minutes and does nothing with him. He's got, I don't know. Also, I don't have regrets, but last week I spoke to you, you know. We had a chat. I was talking to you. I should have sold Moses. I should have sold Targo. Should have sold someone else, and would have been able to bring in Nave, Talakai, and Tass. I went another way, still had Moses for his lousy 8 and Targo. I still ended up Talakai, but I didn't get Nath. You know, granted, it was only 80-something points, only 80 more points than Mitch Moses.
But he went up nearly 100K or something.
That's the drama, you know, and it's that I should have pulled the trigger. We spoke about it. I'm the nard, and I didn't go that way, and I have massive regret, and it's just epic fail. You know, like, you had opportunity. It was opportunity, and if you took those opportunities, bang, 1,200, 1,300 score. Good that's, score this
that's,
week.
That's
you
what
know?
People in the top 100 do. They do those right decisions at the right time.
Fucking, I just don't think I've ever done them. There's probably guys out there.
Like we spoke about earlier off the air, I think it was, that where we had our first thing go right for us when someone got injured, and that was Cheesy in round 1 when we swapped him for Harry.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the only thing that's gone good.
Yeah. Cheers. And cheers again for Cheese doing that. Because Cheese has gone to shit since then. In saying that was a good trade.
Just while we're on Cheese, I think he's down nearly 400K. Randall's at 400K, he's peaked, he's doing nothing. There's no, apart from Cook, who's really overpriced, I think, at the moment. I'm going to get on Brandon Smith and just wait for that origin period when Harry gets rested and he starts to play a bit of hooker and gets a bit more game time and shoot up and be ahead of the curve.
Righto.
Nice. Hold on. Do we not want to know mine?
Yeah.
Yeah, sweet ass. So my epic fails are not starting Harry Grant, not waiting the extra week. I ended up wasting a trade with Reed Marnie, and we always knew Harry was going
to
be gold.
You had to chase cash too, didn't you?
I ended up having to chase a little bit of cash to get to Harry, which, yeah, I did. I've managed to make work, but, yeah. Starting Defi over IPAP. Probably could have afforded IPAP if I'd really stretched for it. But I thought off the back of a career year, he probably wasn't going to come out and have a second one in a row. Dude is a machine. He's definitely my next trade target in the forwards.
Well, just quickly on that, for me, he is that guy. Like, he's the pain ass that we used to talk about. You know, like, he's a gun, mate. You know, and against them tougher sides, he's still going to chug out their massive scores because that's where his effort lies, in the tackles, in the break ability and stuff like that.
He's got a good foundation to begin with, and then he can build on that
because
he's hard to tackle, seems to be anyway. I've never tried, but...
I just think he runs... Payne Ass is a steamroller. You know, he deliberately runs at the dude, whereas if IPAP sees the line, he'll run the line and... A couple of times seen him go over untouched.
Yeah.
You know, for a big dude like to run over untouched, it means you're running a great line, you know. You see the hole, you see the angle, and he scores tries a lot more than Payne Huss does. Yeah. That's the appeal to him.
That's different. There's a difference, bro. That's because he plays on the edge. Payne Huss does use his footwork and get in the middle of defenders, but he's playing in the middle. Yeah. It's always going to be hard to score tries. But, yeah, and Murray, I've put Murray right up there with him as well. He's just having a beast of a year. He just hasn't slowed down at all.
Yeah, he's an absolute monster. Billy Smith was another fail with Billy Smith.
Yeah, I forgot about Billy
Smith. Yeah, it's it. It was a bit of a waste of a trade. Yeah, it didn't really chug along, get many points. Only lasted a few rounds. Starting Teddy over Hines for me.
I still have regrets about that, but in saying that, Teddy's... starting to look the goods.
Yes, Teddy's starting to look the goods now, but that means I could do a straight swap and have banked cash, which I haven't done. Yeah. So, for me, that's the thing. I missed out on Nico's major points, and then I could have banked the cash, you know, or I could have kept Nico, moved him up to the halves and found another way to sort of make some cash there. And not grabbing Talakai. I thought about Talakai and I thought, but then there was Amon and Aaron off the bench. But I just remember the dude was a beast. Last year, he was an absolute wrecking ball. Just look at him. He's so strong. He just gets down and just hammers through work. Yeah, he's good. So those are my fails.
Yes, there's plenty more. We just can't remember them.
Yeah, well, Juzzy is professional for us. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. We've just fucking.
Who else did you pick up on? Sean Russell. But I mean, Sean Russell.
Baltimore.
Sean Russell looked the goods until the injury.
Yeah.
So you can't really blame yourself for that. Bullimore, I think, yeah. See, I didn't get on Bullimore, so he wasn't one of my fails. Yeah. I was umming and ahhing over him, and I actually brought in Olakuatu at the last second. I remember I was sitting at the game, and I saw him on the field doing the warm-up, and I was like, he's playing. Because remember, there was all that umming and ahhing week one.
We had a broken forearm, something, fractured forearm.
Supposedly, but...
No, it was.
Beast.
He just played.
Yeah. So, yeah, cheering. Now, Bergs, you also wanted to talk about Turbo.
Just quickly, like, look, I know he's had a rough start to the year, but if you had the money and it was a luxury trade, it'd definitely be a luxury trade. Would you do it? Would you just go, fuck it, he's surely going to come back good, or would you wait and see, let him have another price loss and just see?
The question is he going to have another price loss? We've seen that the big scores are back, and if anyone's capable of it, it's Turbo.
Yeah, I know. Manly haven't played with him for a while, so they've been relying on other people.
Oh, come on, as if they don't know how to play with Turbo.
Of course they do, but at the end of the day, Manly's also worked out how to play without him. You know what I mean? So they're going to be using these other guys as well, whereas it's not going to take away from Turbo. I just think, if anything, Turbo might be able to just not have to try to inject himself and overplay his hand.
He can help himself.
Yeah, that's the other thing. He does love involvement.
Last year, he came back with a 116 to 118.
Yeah. Oh, every time he comes back, he pretty much comes back with a big game, usually to start.
So, you got Tigers this week.
Oh, it's juicy shit, isn't it?
His break even's 168. Oh, 163, sorry.
So what's he his could price? Make
money. His 900. Price is 970K.
It's a lot of coins.
Yeah, it's a lot of coin. If you don't already have it, it's a lot of coin. And I wouldn't trade anyone to him. I wouldn't trade Puppy or Hines to him.
Although, no, I wouldn't be trading don't get me wrong,
that's a big balls trade. If you could trade Hines up to Turbo, if you got him at fullback, that's a big balls trade to put on the table, especially with Hines' form.
Definitely.
But could pay off.
If you've got Hines at fullback and you've got a Mitchell Moses and you want to go Turbo instead of Nath and go the major pod move.
That's juicy.
Do you like that?
Or if you've got the cash already in, you can actually have your halves set as being Nathan Nicko and then have your fullback set as Puppy Turbo. Ooh, the only thing you've got is captaincy problems each week, really.
I still think you put Paps in there just for goal kicking.
Yeah.
If they're scoring for 50 and 70 points and shit.
Yeah, that's insane what they've done the last couple of weeks.
And I think they put 50 on us, if I recall, so it's a lot of points to score. They're four and against huge.
Yeah.
They can just do it from anywhere with anyone. Like, their whole team's dangerous.
My problem is their four and against is huge. Penrith drop a game, and then Melbourne goes straight to the top of the table.
Penrith will definitely drop some games, but Melbourne could also, like, they're losing.
But like I'm saying, that's what the ladder battle for the top at the moment is the points differential, and Melbourne know that, and that's why they're going so hard. Because as soon as Penrith drop one game, because Melbourne have only dropped one, then bang, Melbourne go top of the table. Yeah. So that's it's got to be what's motivating them at the moment, because it's going to be super hard to catch a points differential.
Well, 13 will be your game. That's where you're going to drop your game.
Round 10's the game.
Or
is next it, week.
When is, no, I mean like.
That's next week against the Storm.
I mean, no, but when you lose all your players, like you're losing half a squad, bro, sorry, but.
Yeah.
You're going to lose a lot. So, do we lose Origin players round 12 or?
No.
Round 11, round 13?
Round 13 only.
And that's the only round we lose them for?
Unless they're rested pre or prior.
Right, eh?
Because they get named after round 12. Like, we sort of know who's going to be in there and you know you're going to lose them, but they still play that last game. You only miss them through the bye round games.
Yeah. So, I was just making sure. I've seen a question today, so I thought I'd double check that because. And you had me convinced they were gone in 12 for 10 days. They go into camp, they watch all the games on the weekend, and it's like, what the fuck?
No, the bye round games.
Big day for me.
That all is right. They do go into camp for 10 days. They do watch all the games on the weekend.
But they're back. But they're back for their games, respectively.
Well, yeah, and then it's a question of do they get rested or do they get reduced minutes and lighter workloads or what have you? Or do they come back absolutely on fire and ripped air bust? I mean, that's the Origin conundrum. You've got the pen. I don't know what you're looking at me for.
But, yeah, the Storm is putting up some crazy numbers this year. It's ridiculous. Like, the takeaway Russell has played one game and their spine can take up three of the top five spaces.
Yeah.
Paps one, Grant three, Munster five. That's how ridiculous their scoring.
Yeah, and to be honest, Hughes, like, he's the second best halfback in the comp by a mile.
He's averaging 70 and he's the weak link, and 70's not horrible.
Yeah.
It's not even that he's the weak link.
I wouldn't even call him the weak link. Well, I think he does his job.
Super coach wise, I mean, that's what I'm putting this down to. I'm not nothing on the field.
For me, he's the guy. He just doesn't ever overplay his hand. He just does his shit. You know, he's.
Well, when Green's playing the way Green is, Munster's doing what Munster is, and Paps doing what Paps is. You can just sit back and pick your time, go, yeah, right.
Yeah. And yeah, like you said, 70s isn't shit.
No.
Like, it's not a bad score.
Like, apart from, like, the guns, that's right up there with the best forwards and shit.
Yeah.
And see, he's probably who you want as your second halfback by the end of the year.
Oh, Cherry for me. I'll be definitely looking at Cherry. He fucking finishes the year strong.
No, I think Hines still.
Yeah.
I'll be sticking with Hines.
Well, he does kick goals, Hines, but their run's going to get tough soon. They've had a pretty cool draw, you know, so I'm looking for them to.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Start losing some points soon.
Alrighty, so that's a couple of your rants out of the way. In fact, I think that's most of them. So yeah. Thank you very much, Bergs, for your rants for the evening.
Thank you guys for listening.
Alright, so now we do have very special treat. Ross Mann has got our Ross's Roundup. So we were lucky enough to jump on with Ross before we started recording earlier today. Alright, yeah, so we were lucky to jump on before we went to air today. Toddy G had a question on Twitter, and that's going to get answered in this little segment.
Well, I think you'll find a lot of the questions, you'll find some answers to in here.
Yeah, it was. It was a really good chat with Ross. Ross does heaps of work for us and for the website, and he really knows his stuff. So, yeah, let's jump into it. All righty. We are joined now by Ross Mann. Welcome to the show, Ross. You've been doing stuff for the website and doing videos and pumping the YouTube and everything for, well, all season, all pre-season. You've actually been a busy boy. You were involved, of course, with racing and BBL in the off-season as well.
Heavily involved.
He's a man who knows his supercoach. He's a man who I listen to, and it's working. So I'm going to continue doing that. Thank you for joining us on the show for Ross's Roundup.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Yeah, hasn't been the best of seasons, but I pumped out a 12:30 on the weekend, which was good. Heading in the right direction, still sitting about 30,000, but it's green arrows, so I'm heading in the right direction. But there's a bit to do with my team, but I'm pretty happy with where it's at the moment. I've got, I think, about 12 or 13 players now for round 13, so I'm sitting in a pretty good position. I'm just hoping that the bye period I can make up some ground back then. So see how we go. But hopefully we can have another round, a good round again this week and go from there.
Yeah, beautiful. I didn't get to watch much football on the weekend. I had a fairly abysmal score myself. But what I am looking at this week, I've managed to have a little bit of a read of some articles. Haven't really gone over TLT yet, but probably will have by the time this gets to the podcast though. Who am I looking at this week, mate? What do I need to do? Who do I need to get rid of? More like, who's peaking? Who do I need to buy at this point? Do I need this cheapie from Manly?
So I think the best ones to jump on this week is, I think, Cody Walker is the one you want to be getting on this week. If you have someone like Ilias or someone like that you want to upgrade, I think Cody is ripe and primed at about 514K at the moment. He's dropped about, I think, he's dropped about 220K since his starting price. Scored 99 last week against Manly. And has a break even of 8 and projected to make 46K. He's got three nice games coming up because he's got the Broncos, the Warriors, and the Raiders coming up in his next three games.
You trust him to be your 5'8" or your second 5'8"?
I think you'd want to have him as maybe a backup 5'8". I wouldn't have him as your main. Like, you'd probably want to have like someone like Cam Munster in your 5'8" or Nico Hines in your or somewhere there as well. Do you know what I mean? But I don't have the cash to go with you to Walker, but if I did without having to use the boost, I'd probably definitely do it for sure.
Con got something on the Walker thing?
Yeah, I'm not big on it. He got the 99 on the weekend, which was by far his biggest score this year. They played against 12 men for 72 minutes. Mm. Yeah. Well, last year he would have put on 270. So, yeah, I still want to see more out of South and him in total. And when Trell comes back, will be, I think, when I judge him.
Sorry to take you off topic, and maybe he's already on your list, but Roscoe, what about Drinky?
I really like Drinky as a smoky, but have I missed the boat?
I I don't know. I don't know if it's too late, to be honest with you. I think I had a look. He's about 530K now. So I think he's still got a negative break even. He'll make cash. You play round 13 as long as he holds his spot. So he'll be good for you for the buyers.
That's my concern, though. Will he hold his spot? The hammer is going to get eased back in. And nah. Look.
No, he's going drink, he's going center or something.
Yeah, drink his fullback spot second.
Yeah, you reckon? Because he's done... Yeah, he's done epically at fullback, and I personally think he's earned his spot.
They didn't win games till Drinky got there, really.
Yeah, I did.
A clunky, but...
Yeah, they look much more cohesive in attack.
I wouldn't be surprised if Hammer comes in and plays centres and Hiku misses out.
Yeah.
All right.
Because I know Hiku got taken off last week and Hammer came on and did a really good job. I mean, you got to remember, Hammer's playing centres. Doesn't he play centres for Queensland too?
He played there last year and did well.
Right. Very well.
Yeah. He's big and strong, so they make him a good defensive, but he's got that attacking flair too.
Yeah.
So which way would you go, Roscoe, Drinky or Walker?
I think Cody, just on his pedigree and the draw that they've got coming up, for me. But it depends if you want the coverage for round 13. Because if you want the round 13 coverage, Cody's no good. Also, Cowboys have got a really good run coming up after round 13 too.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm liking Drinky. Yeah,
so maybe Drinky until 17 and switch him to Walker maybe.
With the Drinky money that you will make, it won't be a hard transition unless Cody goes back-to-back 200s or something.
I don't hate the idea. I've had a look at Drinky, to be honest with you. I wouldn't bring him. I think he's good for draft. I've have him in draft, but not sort of so sure in the classic, mate. That's the only thing. I don't know if he can keep it going.
Yeah,
kind of a bit like Talakai, you know what I mean? Same thing with him. So,
Who else on your list?
So next one's Team Marie Martin, 205K, fullback 5'8 dual.
Hey, hold on, sorry, Roscoe. Mate, when you're talking, can you please just make sure you're talking at the camera? Because otherwise your audio goes real funny and the people at home won't be able to hear you.
So Team Marie Martin, 205K, fullback 5'8 dual. He's looked okay in his two games so far, hasn't scored that great. He's got a 38 and I think a 51. But I think he's just warming up to the position. And I think someone who's looking to get rid of Ilias, I think it's not a bad trade to go to Team Marie Martin. He's got a break even of minus 22 to make 43K.
For me, even when Tessie New comes back, I can see him sort of maybe getting the six jersey to Marie Martin.
To be honest, whatever they're doing at six definitely isn't working at this point. They're not clicking as a result.
But it's not just the six, though, either. I mean, I don't trust Walters. I mean, for me, I mean, I think Pakes is the best hooker in the club by far. And yet they've still got him benched and they're still playing him junk minutes as well.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, I liked Murray Martin and I went Ilias to him this week.
I mean, Reynolds went off with a HIA and Pakes came on and went to hooker and Billy Walters went to halves. And then as soon as Reynolds came back on, they took Pakes back off again and kept Bob Walters in the half, in the hooker. So there's a couple of coaches I don't trust. He's one. Cal Payton I don't trust as well. So, and
Brad Arthur.
I wouldn't be touching Ruben Cotter either. I've noticed that there's a lot of people jumping on Ruben Cotter. For me, I think it's a no-go zone. What do you guys think about Ruben Cotter?
You should have already had Cotter if you were going to get on Cotter, I think.
Yeah.
My thing with Cotter is I think a lot of people were, if the deciding factor might have been buy coverage, and it looks like he's going to play himself into a bench spot for Queensland.
Too, you're right. That's the other thing as well. And I think people are looking at trading Chris Randall to him. They looked and gone, he's played 80 minutes last week off in the front row, but the weeks before that, he's only played 30 to 40 minutes.
Hey, can I just ask, what happened at Starling on the weekend? Did he play off the bench?
Yeah,
he did
play started. Off
the bench. Yeah.
Who started?
Adam Elliott.
That's my sneaky for the week, if you don't mind me interjecting there, Roscoe. Adam Elliott.
No, that's all right.
Ricky's named him again, started hooker. He moved, playing the cheese roll kind of thing from Melbourne last year. And he looked good early, got through a lot of work, a lot of runs, a lot of tackles. I'm getting on at 374K. I think his break-even was minus 24 from memory.
Well,
he's got 104 in his rolling average now, so David Fafita to him and upgrade my team. Yeah.
He's the shittest footballer in the house. Like, his missus is way better than him.
I'm just spewing. I bought in Starling last week, and then I saw he only scored a 35, and I read somewhere that he played off the bench. I missed the game, and I was like, oh, my God, what have I done?
I didn't understand why Sticky did that, because Starling's been one of their best players.
Sticky don't know what he's doing at the moment. He's just trying to get some wins.
I think they're trying to lower his minutes to get more quality instead of quantity out of him. When he was coming off the bench, he was running amok in those tight forwards through the middle and shit. He was carving them up. But since he's been playing 80, the impact hasn't seemed to be the same, maybe.
Yeah. Well, the last one I've got on the list to buy is Isaiah Tass. Now, for me, he is the must-have chibi of the week. He was only supposed to be in this week, but he's managed to hold off Milne out of the team. He's 175-400 centre. He looked really good. He got a 42 his first game, which was off the bench, and then he backed it up with an 84 in the centres on the weekend with a try and a try assist, I think it was.
Yeah.
Break even a minus 69 and projected to make nearly 100K this week.
Well, he's on that left side, you know what I mean? Yeah. But the day that left side clicks, he's in for a ton, you know what I mean?
We've got Broncos, Warriors and Raiders next three games, so there's plenty of points there on offer for him.
Well, he looks like a good young footballer all around, Supercoach-wise and NRL-wise.
They rate him really highly. They really do. And, I mean, it can't really take much out of the game on the weekend because they played against 12 players most of the game, but I think he's a must-have for this week.
All righty. So, in that case, if he's a centre, who do I need to downgrade to? Is Targo a move on now? Is Taylor May a move on now?
Well, for me, I think you're going to have to wait the game day to see what they do with Toto. Toto's named on the extended bench. Also, just while we're talking about the game, is it Russell? Russell's also named on the extended bench. Yep. So, but both of them. Now, Russell, for me, I'd jump on Russell this week if he was definitely playing. I think Parra plays the buy round, don't they?
No, they don't play the first one.
Well,
then
I
probably
17.
Wouldn't jump on this week. But yeah, like if you're looking for a downgrade, I'd probably be leaning more towards Targo because I think, this is me personally, I think May should snag a spot just on effort. And if it's going to be Targo's spot, why not? He's probably played more effort football since coming into the team than Targo has, which for me would say have that spot, you know what I mean? But well, I don't know.
I think if you're looking at trading out a centre to bring in Carson, you want to do a nice downgrade, I think Will Penasini's the man to go this week.
Yeah?
Just for the fact that he doesn't play round set, he doesn't play the first bye. Parra's draw after round 10 is getting really, really hard, whereas South gets a lot easier. So for me, you're going to bank around about 250K by doing that trade as well.
Beautiful. That's what I'm saying. Like, my thing is, I personally think Targo may both hold their spots. I think Stain gets kicked. Lots of errors from him this year. And you can see he's been trying for the last couple of weeks, but I just don't think it's going to happen. I think May's going to go back over with Crichton. The other thing Ivan likes is the fact that Targo and May both have a really good combination together already, which helps a lot. So yeah, okay, cool. Penasini.
Well, that goes on to my next question for holds because I have both of them as holds because I've had a look at the trade outs for this week and can't believe the two of them are sitting second and third on the sellouts. I mean, the Panthers are a high ceiling club. They're both good players. They've both got decent scores. The last couple of weeks have been a bit average. I think Targo got 50 and I think May got about 39. They both cover around 13 and I think it's a crazy trade out. Honestly, I really do.
And I think after next week when we play Parra this week and then we play the Storm the week after and then I think after that. Yeah, because we've played pretty much all the top six teams. I think we got Cowboys coming up who could prove to be a bit of a test. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, our draw's got to open up because we've had quite a few hard games already.
Not as hard as the dogs, bro.
I just think that they're not going to lose you a lot of cash. They're not going to drop under. They're not going to drop like to 200K like Sabo or someone like has. They're still going to be around that 400K mark, and they're both averaging still about 50 points. So I don't see the point in trading them, to be honest with you.
The only reason why I can see people trade May is he's not keeping his spot. That's the only reason why I'd trade either of them out at the moment. I'd consider Targo. I honestly would.
Would you?
But even if he's not going to drop that much cash, he's peaked now. I think that's the best you're going to get out of him.
What about if May plays on that right wing where they don't attack as much? Do you think he's a sell then if he goes to the right wing?
Nah, I think his efforts, he'll go looking for the ball a lot more than Staines, who is very effort-like, you know?
I don't think he's a keeper till the end if he plays on the right.
Yeah. Nah, because
he's got maybe trade after me on 13.
His base is good enough, but 35 points a week isn't good enough. Mind you, ain't going to score down there once every 3 weeks.
Nah, well, is the reason Penrith don't go that way is because they know Staines?
No, not at all.
To be honest, look, Stephen Crichton has got to be one of the informed centres at the moment. He's scored a hat-trick in his last game. He's scored a couple of tries before that. He's actually been a bit of a sneaky under-the-radar pod, I think you'll find, because when they do go right, Crichton often finishes. The only problem, he'd probably finish more often over there. Like, oh, you'd probably get more tries on the right, but you're right, Staines does stuff it up almost every time. Now, it's not always down to him. Sometimes there's shonky passes coming from
a lot of the time, Crichton tries to go himself. And then when all else fails, he just kind of throws a miracle out and hope Staines is in the right position to grab it.
Exactly.
He's never, ever got room, Charlie.
Yeah.
Nah.
Can I just say on Critter, because I traded Critter in last week, all right? He only got 39, which is not too bad because he didn't really do anything. It wasn't.
You got a try, didn't you?
I bought Crichton in, last week, for mainly for the buy coverage and the fact that he's going to be goal kicking when Cleary's out for Origin too.
He might get picked yet.
My problem with that is last year, I think game one, Tigers beat him 26-6 without Cleary and their Origin star. So if they're only scoring one try.
Yeah, they did. They had a lot of their Origin stars out.
They've got O'Sullivan as backup.
Definitely.
He's done well this year, so.
They had Matt Burton there last year.
Yeah. I think Sullivan's.
Sullivan's a halfback. Matt Burton's not. It's simple. It's quite simple.
Sullivan clearly knew how to run aside.
He's a specialist.
Not just that. You know what? Where Penrith is at as a team, it makes his job so much easier.
Yeah.
Because his forwards are doing what they're fucking meant to be doing. The hooker's giving him good
balls. Isaiah Yeo's in the team. They got right. Burton didn't have Isaiah Yeo and Cleary was out last year because Yeo was out. So
and Yeo will be out this year as well.
That's it.
Like looking through that period, I think what you're gonna notice missing the most is Isaiah Yeo. Is you don't have that ball playing forward that's gonna be because Matt Eisenhuth's not gonna be able to do that job. I mean,
other forwards can do it, but they're not going to play the right plays at the right time and deliver those passes as good as Joe is.
Who you reckon plays lock for Penrith during Origin? Do you reckon Jamin Salmon? Sorensen goes to lock, you reckon? Yeah.
Salmon's probably the best option. He's a 5'8 coming through, so he's more likely
ball playing forward, and they keep pushing him through the middle at the moment. And I think that might be trying to just toughen him up and juicing him up. But anyway, we'll see what happens.
What else you got there, Roscoe?
Yeah, who you got on yourselves?
I had down as a hold is Joey Manu. And the only reason why I say that is I've seen him on the top five sellout list. And for me, this makes no sense. I think he's definitely a hold, especially when he's going to play round 13 and will be playing fullback for the bye period as well. So
the only thing I can see is a cash grab because he's going to lose so much cash. He'll be able to pick him up 100k cheaper, maybe further buy around.
Yeah,
that's the only reason you can honestly.
No, we're talking about as a hold. He's talking about if you've already got him, hold on to him.
He's seen him in the sales list, and that's why he's getting mentioned. For me, if you bought Joey Manu and you knew you were going to get a couple of low scores, and you technically brought him in to cover Teddy from 13 to 17, because Teddy's bound to get a rest, especially if there's some big origins. And Joey Manu fucking tons up nearly every time he plays fullback. So
yeah, he's a beast at fullback. Oh, I mean, look, he only touched the ball four times in the other game in last week's game. You know what I mean? Like he just did not get the ball. Which, as soon as he does, he's a menace.
Mm.
You know he will.
For me, also just on Joey, like after he's had his stint at fullback as well, he seems to just fucking go next level as well. Like you've seen him last year doing what Turbo was doing with Teddy in Origin. Like they had two fullbacks to Roosters and Joey was carving up.
He was playing like a roving sort of full extra fullback position.
Yeah, it's like he sat on his side a little bit back, but every now and again, bang, he's over there on the left doing magical shit. Yeah, I like Joey.
All right, we'll go on to the sells now. Mitchell Moses, for me, is on the list to sell. 673K. Starting to lose a stack of cash now after making a lot. He only made 9 on the weekend against the Cowboys.
Useless.
He's got a break even of 130 and projected to lose 45K.
Their last week was the week.
Very hard soon as well. And they play Panthers this week.
Yeah, flick him.
Yeah, another 9.
Straight to Nath.
If he's lucky, he'll get a 9 this week.
Nah, you'll have to make some tackles against Nath.
What about this? Would you maybe go to Nico if you didn't have Nico just for Origin and shit like that? Or would you just go to Nath?
I'd just go to Nath personally.
Well, if you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, the trade from Moses to Nath is now going to cost you 400K.
Fuck
yeah.
Last week, 300.
Yeah.
Roughly.
He's only just going more and more out of reach. Yeah, you've got to get rid of that cash.
Whereas if you go to Nico, I think Nico's only going to cost you about 100 more, if that.
Yeah, that's why I'm looking.
But then also score you 50 points less a week. Sometimes. Never going to close that gap to Nath.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to find that money eventually. You might as well take the points now, find that money, and get Nath in.
Yeah. All right, who else is on the sell list?
Sam Walker is on the sell list. 532K, 5'8" halfback. Hasn't been great lately. Was poor against the Bulldogs on the weekend, only scoring 9 points. He's in a side that's struggling to score points at the moment, even though we know they have got plenty of potential to do. He's got a break even of 112 and projected to lose 43K.
Does he play buy round?
He does.
Sell him. Who cares?
Yeah, it's irrelevant. Yeah, get rid of him. He's not getting you enough points for that position.
I don't know how you've held him this long.
Nah, I didn't. I turned Nath into him.
Well, thank goodness I made the right decision of selling Sam Walker last week over Teddy.
Yeah, I did sell Teddy last week. Last week, I went Teddy to Taff.
I'm a holder.
Yeah.
Nah, I needed the cash. I did it. I don't regret it.
Yep.
It's his first ton. But look, Teddy will come back into the side. He's part of the dream team.
He's started looking better and better over the last couple, like his involvements. They're getting him ball and stuff like that.
I need his halves to click first. Once his halves click, he'll come straight back into my team. But if he's not getting good ball, you know.
I think they're learning to give him ball.
Well, I think Teddy's still playing brilliant football. Teddy's still doing what Teddy does best.
Well, he's still averaging okay.
Yeah, that's what I like. Teddy's still doing really good football. He's still taking plenty of hit-ups, running plenty of meters, doing all those things. Those half opportunities aren't turning into full opportunities for him this year.
What I have noticed with Teddy is a couple of times when he has broke the line, he'll normally try to take on the fullback, whereas this year he's just, I don't know if he's tired or he's carrying injury or something. He's sort of just succumbed to it.
It's been big 4 or 5 years for Teddy.
It has. He carried the team heavily for 2 years on his shoulders alone.
The only thing that concerns me is he hasn't turned up yet this year, which is very, very un-Teddy-like.
Seven coming in his last 12 games.
I was about to say they've got to be there then.
not just that though, guys. Normally they're a top 4 side, solidified. Their structures are sound, their defense is on point, and this year not working.
No, that's it. It's clunky.
As we said off air before we came on here, I just think they need to swap Kiri and Walker around on the side from left to the right side, swap them around.
And if they could wait until after Origin Game 1 and just do it all in the same week that Teddy comes back, I'll be cheering and jumping straight on.
Well, it's untried and tested, so...
I will not care. Teddy will come back charged from Origin, and I think that's when I'll jump onto him.
For the last 6 or 7 weeks, I think you're going to want Teddy in your hand. I think the Roosters will click by then, everything will be chiming. Teddy will be cheap, and you'll want him for your run home.
Yeah, for sure.
What do you think about the Manly winger, Christian... I don't know how you pronounce his last
name. Fupiloto.
He's
going to make shitload of cash.
I'm thinking I'm going to jump on this week and I'm going to, rotate a couple of cheapies in my centres because I think, same thing, he's going to make a bunch of cash and I'm just trying to grab cash wherever I can at the moment.
Yeah. Well, they've had some injuries. Parker's gone down. Saab's gone down.
They're the big things. Are they only a weak prospect? If they're only a week,
Parker's out for
4 weeks for both of them.
Four
I think.
Weeks and so sub.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well,
so that's what I mean. I think he's a must-have this week.
Turbo is back.
Yes.
So wingers fucking get points with Turbo. We've seen Saab last year. We assume Garrett go back to his natural wing. Saab last year was up there with top try scorer. So
that was totally different team, bro. Yeah, totally different Turbo. Don't expect anything like that this year.
I'm expecting him to get a few tries. That's what I'm saying.
I think what Turbo does to that team is the fact that because he floats up, ends up on a side, gets good ball, runs the line, takes out two defenders, and that's why the winger gets over, because Turbo creates that space. Because if you don't shut him down, then Turbo goes through the space himself.
Also, probably 25% of those chances last year, if not more, if Saab didn't have the speed Saab has, they wouldn't be tries from anyone else.
Fair call.
Cooler runs 10.5 or something.
Yeah, I don't believe it. I don't believe he's anywhere near as fast as Saab.
So let me ask you this then. What do we think about trading Taylor May to Ruben Garrick for a four-week play before Origin?
I'd go to Tupoloto first, the other manly winger, wait for him to juice up and then jump on Garrick probably.
Yeah.
Because Garrick's back on his left wing, whereas Tupoloto, his name, is going to switch to the other wing now.
Yeah, but if you go back and look at Garrick's scores from early in the year, he wasn't doing well.
Nah.
Not until he went to fullback.
But I think he did get a few tons with Turbo last year. I think he did get a few tons with Turbo last year.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and he's got the goal kicking there at Manly, which all helps, because if Manly click and they start scoring heaps of points, he benefits from that.
I still think you can get him cheaper at a better time.
Yeah. So when are you thinking, like talk us through that?
Well, yeah, I'd top up Tupoloto first, the other winger, and then go to Garrick if you want Garrick in the end.
Hopefully do a straight
swap. About round 7, like
100, 150K or whatever.
Yeah. By the end.
All right, just quickly, Roscoe, before we got to go. Tigers, Jackson Hastings, would you look at him? 100 touches a game. He's bound to start scoring some good. He's averaging 70, I think.
As a Tigers fan, you probably know their draw a lot better than most, and it looks like Luke Brooks is settling into the 5-8 spot as well. Hastings is definitely a commander over there.
I don't hate it, but
for a moment,
you definitely don't love it either.
I just think that there's better other options for the halves. I think you should be looking at like Munster, Nico Hines, Cody Walker, Nathan Cleary. Like they're the ones that should be your halves.
I feel what Jackson Hastings is doing now is the best you're going to get out of Jackson Hastings.
You're
never going to get those big 150s, 200s.
Yeah,
and
he's
shit.
He's not going to get those ceiling scores like the other blokes are going to get that I just mentioned.
Yeah. All right, fair call. Well, thank you very much.
Well, when's the Roosters buying back off the cap? Yeah, they need a halfback. Then he'll start putting out those big scores.
Is that when they buy David Fifita as well?
Yeah, probably, and Payne Huss too. Don't forget him.
Only 500 bucks.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us for Ross's roundup. It's been a pleasure. And yeah, we'll talk to you next week, no doubt.
Cheers, Roscoe. Boy,
all the best. Yeah.
Thanks, mate. Yeah. Cheers. Hold on.
Thanks for that, Roscoe. It's a good chat. Cheers for that.
Don't bring those three friends with you next time, please, Roscoe.
Yeah, get some better mates.
Loose units.
All right, so go straight into questions, shall we?
Yeah, why not?
All right, from Supercoach 360, so I think it might be Timmy in there. What's the ideal number for the buys this year, and how many trades have you all got saved so far to get you through? I've saved 3 trades but used 4 boosts. My team is fairly well set, apart from the first buy, only 9 players, Timmy O. Okay, so what do you reckon?
I don't know.
All right, Toddy G. So
no, we said we'll get to the origin numbers next week. We'll discuss that next week.
We did.
And trades remain at the moment. I have 25 after boosting this week. I think that was my 4th boost.
I'll have the same if I boost, but that will be my 2nd boost used this week if I boost. So yeah. I've got 28 trades left. Boosted once last week just to break the... But I boosted the wrong way, so... As you, as anyone who, Bowsy would know, sometimes the boost kicks in, shit kicks out. You know what I mean? just like Turbo.
It's too much for some.
I've, doing two trades this week would leave me with 28. I've just been playing around. That's what I mean. I saved a bunch. I've boosted, hold on, let me just double check. I've boosted twice. So I've still got three boosts left. And yeah, I've played around during that segment, and it looks like I'm going to bring in Isaiah Tass and Tamari Martin. They've been mentioned by everyone. Pullman is buy, hold, sell, which is on the Supercoach Hub Discord. Definitely check it out. We've also Brad Smith and Ross Mann all mentioned all three players. So for me, that's an in. Cody Walker, I think, was one of the other common ground between all three of them this week. And that leaves me with 500K. So now I'm just trying to figure out what to do with it.
Spend it wisely.
Yeah, but I'm not thinking I'm going to spend it this week or trade this week. Are you running the numbers for me on how many trades I've got left per round?
Not yet.
Not yet? All right, cool. Because, yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out is at what point do I get to, I've definitely only got two trades. I've got two trades a week to cover me for the rest.
Of the year.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm working towards that. All right, questions.
All right, Brad Smith. Can I get a raise in my job the way Pappy gets a raise in his points? Nico Hines the same. They breathe Supercoach points, the Blokes.
Nath's not shy of it either.
Yeah, Nath as well. But, yeah, look, I'm not exactly sure where the points came from, but I'm pleased as a captainer. Yeah, like they scored 50 points, so you assume that he got some.
Well, I'm seeing points magically appear during the game. Because last week, I was watching Talakai intently, wishing death upon him, yeah, like a good friend would. And
that's something that doesn't have him does.
Yeah, there was a point there. I think he was on, I don't know, it was like nine runs, 19 points or something, somewhere around that. And I was watching, and he did two runs for under 8 meters and broke a tackle. So I broke two tackles, so I had 6 points. And then next thing he updated like 13 points.
Because he did, he had another run where he busted a few more tackles.
No, well, how do you know? You don't even know what I'm talking about.
Well, no, I've seen him break at least probably 5 tackles.
Well, there was one there where I think he broke the line too and he never got points for it.
Yeah,
He got 2 tackle busts for that run where I think he broke 4 and he broke the line, in my opinion, and nothing. No. I thought he was going to juice up big time and then he went down.
Yeah, standard. Yeah. There's others out there that do just brief Supercoach points.
You know? But it's happened every year. We know it comes. Yeah. Usually the best get it. You just got to have them in your team.
Yeah, you just got to pick and choose the right ones that year, eh? All right, Nicholas Heffernan. All right, lads, I'll be jumping on tonight, see what's going on. Hope you're out there, Nick.
Nick.
All right, Brian Ings. How does Pappy get such a large update? Did someone award stats for a piss and a missed try? Maybe. I'm not sure, but he definitely earns them. They probably owed him from last week, or a couple of weeks ago. He's getting dudded points. But I do get what you're saying. It's upsetting when you're a non-owner or a non-captainer.
Come back, would you say it's just 30 seconds ago?
Oh, you know. Jared Watson, started my buy plan, and should I do Arrow to Lolo, Randall to Starling? Can only do one or get rid of Ilias for Cody Walker while he's going on a run now. Doesn't help by planning, but definitely an upgrade on Ilias. So Arrow to Lolo would be a definite.
Yeah, that's probably the most one I'd like out of those ones.
Randall to Starling can probably take a miss if you can upgrade Ilias for Walker.
I'll drink.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, I think we discussed was Yeah, similar drink, price range.
Drinky's, I think, another 100 or 70 something K or 80 K.
Well, they're both in the 500s, I think. So
yeah, one's low, one's high. But
so if you could find the money for Drinky, I'd like Drinky over to Cody. And maybe after 13, somewhere in between 13 and before 17, you swap him over.
Cash him out, and then you get him for the next buy round. Yeah, that could be a plan to look at, Watto, especially if you can get the cash. Daniel Warby. Players like me that have Paps and Hines at fullback, what's the plan for Origin coverage? Do you think both or either of them will be in the picture for Origin selection? I feel you covered. You at least one will not play Origin.
They're both in the picture, but they're both in the picture for the same spot.
Yeah. So whether or not one plays two games, one plays one, I don't know, but I think you'll be safe to say you'll at least get one of those guys or in and around Origin, where the other one might get rest.
Yeah, you get at least one for 17.
Yeah.
If I had to pick right now, I'd probably say you'll get Hines.
What, you reckon Paps 14?
Yeah.
Right. Juzzy, anything on that, or are you tinkering? Todd Greasy, do we think Gussie or Cotter will play Origin?
Gussie, my opinion.
I think Cotter's a bench opportunity. Are they solid replacements for Fifita if it means I can also get Cody Walker for Ilias? For me, I think I dead set reckon Gussie's 100% playing Origin. I'm not sure they're in a position to really rest him, but Nat Butcher doesn't really let him down too much, so he may get a rest as well. Cotter, I still think he could snag a bench spot for Queensland.
Mm-hmm.
Not 100%. I was listening to Billy Slater on Channel 9 the other night. Big fan.
Yeah.
Big fan of what he does, so.
But I'd assume, I guess he wouldn't. I'd just kind of think he'd be like the Ben Hunt kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I know he can play middle forward and shit, but I think him and Ben Hunt on the bench in Origin, that's a lot of size going out of the middle. I don't think we can afford that.
Yeah. And Cotter should play 13. He should play 13.
For?
Like Cows.
Oh, yeah.
If that's the case, he should play 13. So, yeah, I'd probably look at Fifita to Walker. You got to get... I think you got to get rid of Ilias quickly. He's shit.
Yeah, he's just doing nothing.
All right. Danny Trebarek. Boys. Is 13.2 team value for 13.2 million team value good enough rolling into the buy period? I've been very aggressive with cash generation this year.
As long as the points are there, you haven't burned too many trades and the value's held up.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, that's it. Unless you got to look at too, Danny, some of them guys you actually got in for their money. You know, some of these guys that you've brought in, yeah, they might be putting out okay scores, but the money they've brought in, and if you had a plan to get rid of them to guns, then I still think you have to look for your guns. You know, your guns, yeah, granted your team's value's up there, but some of these blokes are running off inflated money.
Well, that's Talakai is a prime example. A lot of people are going to be in that predicament over the next couple of weeks. Do I hold out and hope the next big one comes along, or do I take me money now and
cash out and go?
Yeah. Cash out.
Because he's pretty much, you make money on him to Toto, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah. Toto, would you jump straight on Toto if he was named this week?
If he plays, he's 100% fit, because Penrith don't need to rush him back for any reason whatsoever, so... Yeah, I've got all the confidence in the world in jumping straight on him.
Yeah. His base is phenomenal. Just a gun. And then, final question, Shannon Pukowski.
And well, you've seen the score Mays put up.
Yeah, well, that's it, mate.
Probably had another 10, 15, because Toto's just a beast to those. And
well, the tackle breaks.
Toto scores, that's it.
The tackle breaks that he gets is unreal. But and then Shannon Pukowski, how many beers does it make the pain go away for being a Knights supporter, Con?
There isn't enough beer on earth.
Just quickly on that, like, where's the change? Is it the coach? Is it the players? Like, what?
Honestly, yes. I don't have a lot of confidence in the coach.
Yeah, hasn't impressed.
No, not really. KP captain wasn't the right choice.
Yep. Saifidi or something?
I know. Obviously, Jaden Brayley was the original one until he got injured. But yeah, I just feel he could have been a better option. Maybe Frizzle or something like that. Attitude. It's just the attitude.
Well, they go, how do you... This is the thing that was alarming to me. It was 26-0, and you just took a crack at goal.
Yeah, just before half-time. Like, what a joke.
What's the point? What a joke. I'm sorry. If you know what, you're better off running a play if you wanted a point.
That's more embarrassing than getting beaten to nil, in my opinion. You're down 26-0, whether it's 40 seconds ago or whatever, you have a crack.
Mate.
You got to do something.
That just shows that you didn't want to be there, for a dude like... I'm an outsider looking in. I've fucking got my own dramas.
Well, I went through
those
3 years where you got the wooden spoon 3 years in a row. We won like 10 games over 3 years. And I was way more proud of my team through those 3 years than I have been over the last month of football, because the effort, the attitude, it's just been atrocious. Through those years when those kids were getting belted, at least they turned up every week and they had a crack.
The effort
was there.
They did
the best they could every week. Yes, they weren't good enough. But that was to be expected. There are a bunch of kids.
Like, you have lost your edges. You know, you lost Mitch Barnett. You lost Lachlan Fitzgibbon, who do their jobs good. You know, like, they're not shit.
I get that. But we've got Frizzell, who's an Origin prop. We've got an Origin forward. Clemmer, who used to be an Origin forward. Saifidi, who's an Origin forward.
His brother, who's going
like, there's still some good forwards there who should be laying a way better platform. But anyway...
Yeah.
That's for another day anyway.
Now, all right, just quickly before, Juzzy, you got anything on the live or anything? I just want to have another quick rant. I heard MG the other morning having a crack at trolls and shit about Brad Arthur's young bloke getting fucking hammered on social media. Now, Luke Brooks gets hammered every week. At NRL level, if you're in a key position... and shit don't go right, it's a part of the game. Like, granted, he's a 19-year-old kid, and we're in a time where there's so many fucking keyboard warriors, you know?
Yeah.
But to be brutally honest, as an outsider looking in again, wasn't the right move to play his son as a starting 5'8". Maybe get in front by 20 points and then let him come on and finish the game. I know they had injury dramas and shit, but they've had other blokes, like, bigger blokes that could have filled the hole.
Well, there's a story. Apparently, Brad Arthur went to the leadership group of Junior Paulo, Mitchell Moses and Gutho, and all asked them if they were happy with it and what they thought of the move, and they all jumped on board with
the
direction he was going.
He's only 19.
At the end of the day, he's an easy target because he's the Suns coach. So, one, people are already going to have it out for him. He doesn't deserve to be there. He's only there because of his dad, rah, rah, rah. So, as soon as shit doesn't go exactly according to plan for him, people are going to jump straight down his throat. Yeah, like, and he's got to have a thick skin because that's going to happen as long as he's playing for Parramatta.
And every time he loses a game.
That's right.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, I can't... Because I'm one of them people that straight away said he's shit, he shouldn't be there. Sorry.
At the same time, it's not fair. Because he's a young kid. He's played 10 fucking NRL games. He's got Mitchell Moses, Gutson and Marnie all in that spine, who are well-established first graders. He shouldn't be the one copping slack for this.
No.
It's not his responsibility to get Parramatta over the line in that situation. He's there just to do his job. It's those other three players that should have stepped up around him and carried him over the line.
Yeah, well, they
and
should
to
have.
Blame him for it, it's not
but,
fair.
But you know yourself, like, for forever, for as long as the time... It's not a forward's fault if you lose the game, even if you drop the ball in the last minute. It's the half's fault.
Mm.
And he stepped straight into a sixth position as, like you said, the coach's son, man. And for all these people to come out and say, don't troll him, don't do this, you know what, fuck off. People have got a right to say whatever they want about sport.
Especially Parramatta fans.
They love their club. They want a premiership. Want it. They want it so bad. They know their window's gone from fucking about that to about that. Like, it's closing fast. And for them to be trial and error and stuff, it's not the right time. to be doing that. Like, yep, you're in front, like your points wise, you're in top eight, whatever. But to be trial and error, and a young bloke, your son, at you know what I mean? There's better games to be playing him in and shit like that. Like, more, I don't know, I felt bad for him. But I also got...
What about the week before when they won?
Still said he was shit. He looked, yeah, I know, he looked shit. He looked clunky. He didn't seem to gel into their side. Like, Dilbag's having a fucking blinder.
Yeah, he's having a great year.
You know, why couldn't you just put old Arthur out there at centre and just said, well, if you see something, mate, come in, have a go.
Ryan instead, Madison could play centre.
Oh, I could put Cartwright at centre. You know, there's plenty of other people. There's other ways I could have went. But I just felt for everyone to, like, go, oh, wait, trolls, you know what, fuck off. Like, as a people, as someone who... Oh, I fucking rubbish people. I hated Mitch Brown, if you remember, from the Dogs, mate. Yeah. Still hate Mitch Brown. I never met the bloke, but fucking hated his game. Didn't suit my club, I felt. There's players out there you hate. I openly said it about 100 players since we started this podcast. He's shit. He's garbage. He's rubbish. Rada, rada, rada.
I've got a simple solution to this whole problem that I, do you know how I avoid getting trolled? I don't go on social media.
Well, you know what?
I've never been trolled in my life. Well, that's it. I probably have, but I've never read it.
Oh, you got heaps, mate. Yeah. You see shit, Richie comes hammering you, mate. There's hate mail. Nah.
But yeah, it's an easy situation to get yourself out of.
I just, you know what? I feel bad for the dude. I really do. I feel bad for anyone who gets him and has shit, is shit. But in saying that, they're way better than anyone that's rubbishing him. You know, they're playing football. You're at home on your lounge talking shit.
I think we're way off super cage topic.
Yeah, well, we're finished.
Been on for ages.
We're finished. That's why.
Let's wrap it up then. Well, we just ran for the sake of ranting.
No, I had it written down because I seen something like, and I remember MG having a full rant about, oh, you shouldn't hammer people. Rah, rah. It's like,
damn it off. You shouldn't go messaging the player. Right? That's the issue.
Why? If they've got social media and it's open for public to fucking do it.
But the reality is...
Some people fuck with. So you're going to get that on social media.
They go stupid.
But that's the thing, bro. Right? Being a professional footballer, they have an opportunity to make a profile and make a name. Plus, they also have a right to have an Instagram just like everybody else. It's not sort of their fault that they're getting famous.
Absolutely.
Usually... You're never going to get those messages. It's going to be harder for people to find you because they're in the positions they're in, because they're role models and stuff like that. People find them. It's way easier. And it's one of the things that comes with being a professional athlete. But like you said, this guy's a kid. Like for me, like people that get on there and message people death threats and go talk to the player directly, don't get me wrong, an ex-player that's a commentator or something now, all right, whatever, go tell them they're a fuckwit. But the players themselves, especially the...
Oh, they're people's opinion you should be listening to. Not some fuckwit who's never played a game of NRL football in his life, wouldn't know how to tie up your boots. You're going to be worried about his opinion of how you play?
Me and Brave could easily do each other the same level of shit.
I don't know. I just don't see how.
I just don't think you should message the player directly and tell them they should go die because they fucking didn't score a try this week. They fucked your multi. They fucked your super coach. Get a fucking life.
Send back a laughy face emoji.
Look at Twitter and look at like Facebook groups. Some of them have got 50,000 people, 60,000 people in them. So as soon as someone says fucking rah rah, it just carries. Like, you see some things that have got over 100 comments. Someone's bound to know someone. Next thing you know, you see this massive rant. Someone screenshot it or WhatsApp it to them, you know. It's coming to them, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many ways that the hate comes back on these poor guys.
Well, it's their family too. It's not just them. It's their families that I feel sorry for the most. They get drawn into this for absolutely no reason just because old mate had a bad game.
Yeah. All right. Are we done?
Well, I mean, I think we were done 10 minutes ago, but you kept going on, so here we are. Thank you very much for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Stay coachy, coaches.
See you, peeps.
Peace.